Alrighty, so this is part three of a Simplify series. I just want to kind of recap. The first week we talked about Simplify. We talked about simplifying the gospel. And man, at its core, the gospel is the truth that God so loves you, that he sent Jesus to save you and not to condemn you, and that salvation is found in Jesus' name. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the fact that the gospel simplifies relationships. It does two things. First and foremost, it helps us understand that regardless of how we feel about anybody in this world, the gospel teaches us that God so loves them. And so that should change the way and shape our hearts towards how we feel about them. And the second part of that was the gospel breaks people into two categories. Because we try to categorize people in hundreds of different categories, but the gospel brings people into two different categories. Number one, the category of people who believe and are saved, and those who do not believe and stand condemned already. And we talked about what our relationships should be like as believers with both groups of people. But tonight what we're going to talk about is how the gospel gives us a very simple mission. A simplified mission is very important. When I was a little kid, we used to play football in our neighborhood all the time. And we lived off of a golf course, and so we would sneak onto the golf course during the evening, and we'd play football games. And we had the same team every time. There was three of us. It was me, this kid named Tommy, who was my best friend, and his little brother named Nick. Okay? And man, we were dumb. We would never be beat. And we would play everybody from the neighborhood. They'd bring teams. We'd even play four or five guys, and we'd always win. And here, let me tell you why. We had a very simple strategy. Okay? I weighed about what I weigh now, except I was about that tall. So I was like a little bowling ball, okay? And I could throw. And so I'd be quarterback, and we had three plays. The first play was this. Tommy, run as fast as you can down the field, and I'm going to throw it up to you, and you're going to catch it, right? That was play number one. That sounds pretty difficult, doesn't it? Play number two was this little reverse. Tommy ran deep. Everyone thought it was going to go to Tommy. Then Nick would come around here, and I'd hand the ball back to Nick, and Nick would take it like a little misdirection play, and it was unstoppable. And then play number three, if all that went down, I would just run the ball up the middle, and I'd get a good solid 10 yards. I wasn't very fast, but I was hard to bring down. And so that was our deal. And when I'd start running the ball, I'd wear him down. I was like that fullback, you know. That after a couple times, they get bloody nose, like, oh, we're not even going to try to tackle him. And so I'd just run as slow as molasses, but I'd still get to the end zone. That was our three plays. But without fail, everybody we played tried to make their game plan as detailed and intricate as an NFL football team. They would bring into each other, hell, you guys remember this, guys? You remember this when you used to play? And people were like, hey, huddle up. And you're just playing a pickup game of football in the grass. And they take 5 minutes to discuss a strategy in the huddle. You guys know what I'm talking about? They're like, oh, you do this, do this. And then they come out, and what happens is the play is so complicated and it's so complex, half the people forget what they're supposed to do, and nothing happens in the play, and we stop it short. That's how we won every single game. We had a very simple game plan, and we executed the game plan. Let me explain something to you. It was never easy, but it was very simple. It wasn't easy to run up the middle all the time and get hit by people. It wasn't easy for Tommy to catch every pass I threw to him. And it wasn't easy for Nick to run that little play. Here's the deal. They knew it was coming. It was not easy to do, but it was very simple. The same is true about the mission that God gives us. The same is true about the mission that Jesus gives us in the gospel. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Would you pray with me? God, I pray as we study your gospel today and as we walk away from here realizing that the mission you've called us to is simplified here. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be like the kids that I used to play football against. That we'd take a very simple mission and complicate it and never accomplish the goal. Lord, speak to us tonight. Help us see that what you've called us to, though it's not easy, is simple. And may we walk out of here today with a clearer understanding and more empowered to go live it out. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want to do is, focusing on this text, I want to give you three steps to living out the simplified mission. Number one is this. It says, live by the truth. You guys see this in verses 19 through 21. Live by the truth. Jesus says in the Gospels 79 times, I tell you the truth. Before Jesus would drop knowledge on somebody, he would always get their attention and say, hey, listen, I'm not deceiving you. What I'm about to say is very important. I tell you the truth. That was the way Jesus taught. It's very important for us to understand, if we're going to embrace the mission that Jesus has called us to, we have to be people of the truth. There will be nothing in your life that will sabotage and hijack the mission of God for your life more than you believing lies and acting on lies. And so I want to give us just seven quick lies that I think that many of us believe and therefore hijack the mission. Lie number one. I'm just going to follow my heart. Man, I'm just going to do what's right. That first thing that pops in my heart, I know that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go do. I'm going to follow my heart. And man, as a Christian, man, that's what I'm going to do. I got a heart, and as God's given me a new heart, I'm just going to follow my heart. You know what the Bible says about the heart? This is what the truth is about the heart. If we're going to accomplish the mission that Jesus called us to, we got to stop believing lies. Here's what the Bible says about your heart, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? As a believer, when you are going to live your life and accomplish the mission Jesus has for you, don't think that step number one is to listen to your heart. Your heart will fool you. What you need to listen to is the voice of the living God, the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within you. Many times, what your heart says and what the Spirit says are in the opposite direction. And so if we're going to live out this mission and we're going to really live and walk in the truth, we have to stop believing lies. And lie number one is, I'm just going to follow my heart. Number two is this. Freedom is found in rebellion to God. Now you think, I don't really believe that. Well, we kind of do. Because if we didn't believe that, many of us, we would never leave the presence of God. We would never leave what we know He's called us to do. But we wander outside of His commands. We wander outside of His direction for our life. Because somewhere deep down, we believe that real freedom or real pleasure is found outside of His presence and outside of His plan for us. What does the Scripture have to say about that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. True freedom in your life is found in the presence of God. It's found in obedience to God. It's found in being in the presence and activated by the Spirit of the living God. That's freedom. But many of us believe the lie otherwise. What about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30? He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that scripture. Man, I have to bring myself to that scripture so many times when I'm stressing myself out about the Christian life and I'm making it more complicated than it really is. Jesus never said that following Him was going to be easy. Jesus even promises that it will be putting a yoke on you. It will be work, but this is what He says. It's light. See, the world calls out for us to go after their direction, and that look, there's freedom, but believe me, you can't carry the yoke of this world. It's too heavy for you. Jesus comes and He says, here, let me give you a new yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But many of us don't believe that. And we sabotage the mission God has for us because we believe the lie that freedom is found in rebellion to God versus obedience to Him. Number three, God doesn't love me anymore. Now, this is a very familiar text I'm about to give you, but I'm just telling you, I have to remind myself of this all the time. In a world where our relationships are so circumstantial, the beauty of our relationship with Jesus is that we can't get away from His love. When we as believers doubt the love of God, it sabotages the mission God has for us. You want to know why? Because if ultimately we're called to be a light to this world and for us to share with people about the great love and mercy of Jesus, if we're wrestling believing that God really loves us, guess what? We're not going to open up our mouths and talk about the love of Jesus. When we're doubting it ourselves, why in the world would we ever share it? God doesn't love me anymore. That's lie number three. But this is what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you've got to put that on your mirror, if you've got to put that in the car someplace, if you've got to put that in your wallet, if you've got to put it someplace that you're going to see it every day, man, because when we don't believe that and we buy into the lie that we can walk outside of the love of God, our mission is hijacked. Lie number four, I need to earn His acceptance. This is just another one. This is another basic Christianity 101 that so many of us forget. Somehow, some way, we buy into the lie that we have to earn the acceptance of God. And we toil and we labor. And we stand in the huddle and we create this huge plan to do what we know we're supposed to do to God. And we're wasting our time making complicated plays to earn the acceptance of our Father when our Father has already invited us into His presence and has already accepted us. And we waste time in the huddle instead of doing what we're called to do because we buy into this lie. Listen to the Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Very familiar passage, but one that all of us should keep close to our hearts. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. You can't earn it. You can't earn the acceptance of God. You can't earn the grace of God. That's lie number four. Lie number five. My sin is hidden, and I'm getting away with it. Now, I was just at a conference, and I'm telling you, one of the speakers, he gave this illustration, and it was haunting. But you guys know, man, as a believer, sometimes sin creeps into our life, and we start to buy into the lie that we're getting away with it. Because, you know, we're supposed to get consequences when we sin, and sometimes we sin, and nothing happens. And so what happens is we just get deeper into it. We're like, I got away with that. And sometimes we buy into a lie. And listen, this is real evil because it comes right from the mouth of Satan. It's like, hey, you know, God really thinks I'm important. I got this huge mission I'm doing here. And my sin could ruin that. And so God's kind of overlooking it because, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. And so I'm going to keep doing this sin, but I'm going to keep it under wraps because it's really not affecting anybody. I got away with it. I'm continuing to get away with it. It's not hurting anybody. You guys know that voice? That's a lie that will destroy the mission God has for your life. Let me tell you why. The illustration he gave is this. He talked about when Peter was in sin and Jesus said, hey, Satan came to me and he is going to sift you. But I have prayed that you would stand firm. And when you do stand firm and come out on the other side of it, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. Man, there's some real good stuff going on right here that we need to understand. Listen, the wages of sin is death, right? This is how this guy, Wayne Cadero, explained it. The wages of sin is death. And so when we sin, the demons and the devil want us to pay for our sin because we should pay for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And sometimes we sin and we get away with it and we think, okay, God's okay with it. God is never okay with our sin. So why is it that we don't always face immediate consequences? And this is the illustration he gave, and I pray it shakes you up like it shook me up. He said the demons are dumb, and they're wanting to attack you and make you pay for your sin immediately. But you know what? The devil isn't so dumb, and he's holding his demons back. So you continue to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into your sin. And then when it will create the most carnage, he will release the demons on you, and you will pay for your sin. You will face the consequences of your sin. Man, that haunted me. Because we get so careless and believe that, you know, my sin, God's overlooking it, I'm getting away with it. That is a lie. And when we don't walk in the truth, the mission God has created us for goes undone. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. This is when Nathan comes and approaches David. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Look at verse 14. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. Now, we got to come correct here, church. God is gracious and loving and merciful, and He forgives us our sin. But don't for a second think that your sin has no consequence. You're not going to get away with it. I cannot look at one story in Scripture of somebody who sinned and it didn't utterly bring some type of consequence later. If we believe this lie and we don't walk in the truth, we will not accomplish the mission God has for us. Number six, I can love God and hate somebody else. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but let that sink in. Let that speak to you as it spoke to me. It's so easy for us to become so here about our relationship with God and forget that this should impact all of this. It's impossible to love God and hate somebody else. You've never seen God. Lie number seven, I can receive forgiveness from God but not forgive others. We talked about this a lot a couple weeks ago, so I won't labor it, but Matthew 18, verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's the parable of the unmerciful servant. Do you understand how these lies can creep into our lives and we can start believing them and we start living them out? And all that's happening when we do that is we are extending our huddle time. We're extending the time that we're spending when we should be accomplishing the mission, complicating the very simple mission that Jesus has given us. So the first step to activating and walking out the simplified mission of God is to live in the truth. Let me ask you this question. What happens when we suppress, ignore, and live ignorant of the truth? Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25 explains, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. That's what happens when we suppress, ignore, and live ignorant of the truth. We're handed over to our own ways. We don't want that. Let me give you three brief things that truth does give you. Truth gives you clear and defined paths. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. That's what truth does. If you want to live out the simplified mission that Jesus gives us, walk in the truth. Truth also gives you an undivided heart. Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Truth gives you an undivided heart. Breaks up that huddle time. Last, truth guides you and leads you into His presence. I love this one, Psalm 43:3. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain. to the place where you dwell. First step to living out the simplified mission is to walk in the truth. Number two, it's to step out of darkness. This is what's happening in John chapter 3. Real quick, the context, I believe I shared this a couple weeks ago. The context of John chapter 3, verse 16 is a real conversation between two real people, Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of night, and he wants to know what Jesus is all about. He's feeling Jesus. He thinks that Jesus does some cool things, and he's trying to kind of figure out how he can make Jesus part of his life. And Jesus confronts him on this, gives him the gospel, and then calls him out and says, hey, you have to step out of darkness and into light. Now, the context of this, for you and I, we hear that and we think, okay, darkness is obviously sin, light is obviously Jesus, we got to walk away from our sin to Jesus. That's true. But the initial context, what Jesus is saying, is he's talking to a guy who's coming to him under the cover of night. This guy is approaching him and wanting to add Jesus to his life, yet remain in darkness. Allow his relationship with Jesus to be under the cover of night. And what Jesus says is, hey, if you really want to follow after me and you really want this thing called eternal life, you have got to be with me when the sun comes up. And that's the same about us. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in darkness or under the cover of darkness or where people don't see it and understand it in our own lives. The mission of Jesus for our lives is stunted with every second we remain in the dark. Nicodemus' life. Three specific times we see Nicodemus in Scripture after he walks away from this encounter with Jesus. And each time, Nicodemus is filled with remorse because he knows he made the wrong decision. We're not ever supposed to follow Jesus under the cover of night and in the darkness. John says it this way in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. God gave me an illustration a few months ago as I was praying over this, and here's the deal. If you've ever gone to a room where they do surgeries, in a room where there's surgery done, there's a huge light that oversees everything that's being done, and it shines inside the body. So when they cut the body open, the doctors can see everything. They got lights on their glasses, they got lights on everything. They're bringing light in order to heal you. It's the same with Jesus. Jesus doesn't heal you in the darkness and leave you there. Jesus calls you out of darkness and into light, and it's in the light that you're healed by him. But we compromise this, and we don't believe the truth about this, and we lie to ourselves and believe that we can remain in darkness and intellectually understand who Jesus is and intellectually understand what Jesus did, but yet remain where we always have been. And church, that's just not true. He calls us out of this life and into the light. If it were true, then Nicodemus would have been saved. But Nicodemus wasn't saved. Because when the sun came up, Nicodemus wasn't with Jesus. And he lived a life ridiculed because he knew he made a mistake. It's the same in our lives. Step out of darkness and into light. Whatever defined your life when you were in the darkness. You know, I've experienced this many times when I talk with people through their baptism story. Right before you get baptized at Pine Lake, we ask you to write us a testimony, and we use that testimony to share the truth of your life from the baptistry. And I can't tell you how many times, this is what I would do, simplify it with students, I'd say, check it out. Give me three words that described your life before Christ, tell me how you came to Christ, and give me three words that describe your life after Christ. And you know what the saddest part of that is? The three words that describe their life before Christ and the three words that describe their life after Christ are the same. That's a problem. Jesus calls us out of the darkness of our life and into his light. Exercise for you when you go home today or when you go to dinner after this. Write three words that described your life before you knew Christ. Before you were set free by Jesus, just write three words down. And then write three words about what's been your experience since you've surrendered your life to Jesus. It's a great exercise. Another sad part about that exercise is sometimes we're like, yeah, this was my life before Christ, and this is how my life was at one time, but now it's starting to look like the first three again. And Jesus is calling you to say, hey, listen, I didn't save and redeem you to leave you in darkness. Why? And that's point number three. Because when Jesus redeems us for His mission, He calls us to live a life exposed. When you remain in darkness, you rob God of any glory, of any healing that He's ever done. If you stay in darkness and you have addictions and you have things that rob you of joy and you have guilt and shame, and then Jesus, if there were a way that Jesus would heal you in the darkness, but you were to remain in darkness, no one would ever see the great change Jesus has made in your life. And Jesus redeems you not just because He loves you, but because He desires for your life to bring glory to Him. So when people look at you, they say, whoa! That life has changed. But if you remain in the darkness, who knows what happened in your life? As far as everybody else knows, there is no change. So step three is living life exposed. What Jesus says in John 3, verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done or has done, what He has done, has been done through God. Third step to living out the simplified mission of Jesus for your life is to live your life exposed in the light. Now, what it does not say in this scripture is that you're going to step out into the light and everything's going to be pretty. What it says is when you step out into the light, people will see that what has been done by God. God is still at work in my life. God is still at work in your life. And as long as we remain in the light and we stand exposed for the world to see, people will see change. People will see, man, you're growing more. We get this idea that we'll come out in the light when we've perfected ourselves. You know, like, but man, I'm not going to make a fool of God. So I'm going to stay in the darkness as long as I possibly can. And then I'm going to come out in the light where I'm all clean and beautiful. And people are like, whoa, you know, you're extreme makeover. Listen, that's not the way the Lord works. He chisels you. Sometimes it takes time. You walk out and you ain't all pretty, but you're free. And then God just starts knocking stuff off your life and people are like, whoa, you look a little different than you used to. Man, the way you talk has changed. Where you go has changed. What you see as entertainment has changed. The way you treat people has changed. The way you're a husband has changed. The emails you open and don't open has changed. But so many people stay over here because they're waiting to become perfected. Let me tell you something. Have you ever taken a shower in the dark? I remember when I was in Costa Rica on a mission trip, and man, we were nasty and dirty, and we got this place, and there was no electricity, and there was no hot water. It was a disaster. And so I'm taking a shower in the dark, right? And I think I'm clean. And then I come out, and people are like, ugh, you know, I still got mud on my face. I still stink. I can't see what I'm doing. I can't see the dirt. That's what we do. We try to clean ourselves up in the dark. And then we come out like, look at what God has done now. And people are like, wow. That ain't, you still stink, bro. The simplified mission that God has called us to is to step out of darkness and into light. And as we're in light, as we're in the light, exposed, our life, being real, being authentic with people, I still have issues. I still struggle with this. Why are we so afraid to admit that? We're afraid we're making light of Jesus' sacrifice by saying we still have issues. Some things just drop right off of our lives, but sometimes it takes time. But as long as you're living your life exposed in the light and people see it and people see the change, they see the master at work. They see the surgeon of your life and your heart and your soul at work in you. And you might not be the cleanest thing they've ever seen, but you're free. Many of us, though, rob God of His glory by complicating this. We stay in the huddle so long till we've perfected the play, till we absolutely, positively know that we're going to score a touchdown, and we get out there, and it just doesn't work out that way because we made the play so complicated. This is what Jesus says. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, if we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them when was raised again. Listen to verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And though God were making His appeal, as though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I love this text. This is what Paul is saying. Listen how crazy this is. You want to hear the simplified mission? The simplified mission is to walk in the truth. Step out of darkness and into light and live a life exposed. And why you live a life exposed is somehow, some way, in God's economy and in God's plan, master plan, instead of just revealing Himself to the world and the world being utterly shaken to the core and dropping to their knees and worshiping Him, Jesus has a different plan, and that plan's us. How humbling is that? That we who have been reconciled to God, He now turns it over to us and says, now, go share this message with the world. Plead with them that they can be reconciled as well. What an amazing mission that God has given for us that is so clearly put by Jesus in the gospel. Step out of darkness and into light so that when you're in the light, people may see what He has done and glorify God. Know that He is at work. That's our mission simplified. We have been reconciled and so loved by God, it draws us out of darkness into light, and we're not perfect, and we don't do everything right, but in the midst of being exposed to the light, people somehow, some way see the great reconciling power of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Live exposed in the light. Simple. But not easy. I come in contact with people all the time that one of the main reasons that they're turned off to the idea of God is because they've never seen a Christian. They've never seen somebody that actually lives their life out in the light. That's real. As my wife and I and our kids and a group of other people go down to Florida to go plant a church, we're going to an area where people just don't see a lot of Christians. And we have no chance of accomplishing the great mission of God if we go down there and we live our lives privately with God, in fear that we're going to go down there and mess it up. But what if I, what if I show up at my kid's game and I don't like what the coach said about my son, and I accidentally mess up and say something mean? So instead, I'm just not going to let people know that I'm a Christian. I'm just going to kind of stay undercover, because if I mess up, then I'm not mocking God and everything's okay. Guys, listen, step out into the light. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But whatever change people do see, whatever great work they do see, every good thing you will ever do has already been prepared in advance for you through God. He's already planned it out for you. So don't put all the pressure on yourself to perform in the light. Anything you do in the light that people might look and say, wow, that's good, that's not from you anyway. Don't give yourself that much power. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. You are a wreck that God reconciled. So am I. But people won't see that unless you live your life exposed in the light. The mission that Jesus has for us is very simple. Jesus clarifies it to Nicodemus. Live by the truth. Don't believe the lies, and don't live by the lies. Don't live your life in response to the lies, but live your life in response to truth. Step out of the darkness. Stop trying to clean yourself up because you stink. You can't see all the messes. You can't see all the... Step out in the light and let the healer heal you in the light. And once you're in the light, live your life exposed there. Be real. Be authentic. Let people see what's happening in your life so that they may see any good thing that happens in your life, any change, any redemptive quality, and say, only God could do that. That is our mission simplified. My heart for all of us is we don't spend any more time in the huddle than we need to. The plays are very simple. Living out the plays are difficult. And sometimes we get hit in the mouth. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it doesn't go exactly the way we thought it was. But guess what? We get back up. We keep a clear and simple mission. And we go at it again. Please, church, do not waste time in the huddle, complicating what God has made simple. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we're so grateful that you speak to us. And God, too many times we try to complicate your simple message. I don't know why we do that, God, but I think sometimes in my life I'm just buying time because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. But God, for every moment I spend in the huddle, I'm failing. Because you made it clear. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that your Spirit, which has already been moving in this place, that's already alive. God, thank you that I don't have to ask your Spirit to come down on this place. You're already here. You were here before any of us showed up. And God, you have been working in the hearts of everyone in this room long before this moment. And you will work in their hearts long after this moment. But God, we ask you to seize this moment. May it be about your glory. May it be about what you've spoken to us. And may we respond. God, may there be forgiveness offered where we so desperately need it. Let there be healing offered where we are just hurting. God, let there be joy given where we are sad and down. May there be conviction where we have sin. God, may there be salvation where there is lostness. Move in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.